Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, friends? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. A reminder, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Boy, there's a lot of different things that are going on here. A lot of interesting things that are going on here. Let's start to talk with some about the Lakers. The Lakers won again last night. Remember, they don't have Dennis Schroeder. They don't have LeBron James. They did have Kyle Kuzma, who's back in a uniform. And thanks to a late tip-in by THT, they end up getting a big win over the Knicks. But they still need a little bit of help in order to get out of the play-in game. I guess I have a lot of questions as to what their big hesitance over the play-in game actually is, but they're one back in the win and loss column of the Mavs, one back in the win and loss column of Portland, who I believe both have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. Now, the Lakers, LeBron is supposed to play as they take on the Rockets. And the problem with now LeBron playing is Anthony Davis is might sit because he's so spent, right? So you get LeBron back, but you lose Anthony Davis. On the other hand, it's the Rockets. This is the worst team in the NBA. That's probably a win. Then you have Indy, a team that is struggling, and New Orleans, a team that is interesting to discuss. Let's welcome in Bill Orme. He's covered the Lakers for years. He writes for The Athletic. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. I talked to somebody in the Lakers organization two nights ago before they got the win over the Suns. He's like, man, we're not in a good place, just mentally, emotionally, just the acceptance of playing in the play-in tournament. Now they've won two in a row, and Anthony Davis has been outstanding in both. What's the vibes around the Lakers now?
It's amazing, Doug, how quickly this stuff can swing, right? Because I think that there's a real positivity now. I mean, the play-in, like you said, is probably not the death knell that you might expect it to be. They're playing well. Two really, I think, kind of signature wins, at least for this stint of games without LeBron, to be able to go blow out the number two team in the West in Phoenix, and then to grit out a win in a totally different fashion against a Knicks team that will really beat you up and get big-time contributions from a lot of your supporting cast. I think that there's a much more optimistic outlook for the Lakers now, that they feel like they're going to be welcoming LeBron back into a fold and into a group that has maybe started to figure some things out and is playing better. Because you're right, for a long time there, it looked pretty dire. They'd lost 8 out of 10. They were completely sliding into the play-in. And now, whether it's the play-in or not, they are I think, at least piecing together some positive developments. Although I would actually argue that the Lakers' best path is through the play-in. Their best path to a championship would be through the play-in.
Because they play the Suns, right? Like the Suns, the Suns are not beating them in a series. They're just not. No, I don't see that happening at all.
No, I agree with that. I think that I would take the Lakers by a slight margin. I think I think the cumulative toll of all the things that have happened in the Lakers season, the injuries and the setbacks, those have to count for something. And so I think, I think that you'd have to give the Suns some credit for what they've done this year going into that series, but I think I'd still take the Lakers. It gets dicier against Utah. It gets dicier against the Clippers for sure. But I think if you can get the Suns in the first round, that's at least a series where I feel like you're going to be able to figure some things out to get ready for a matchup with either Utah or the Clippers in round two.
Bill Orme joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. But I'm not thinking. Here's the thing. I think they'd rather play the Suns in the first round, but they don't want to play those extra games for fear of the attrition of series and the extra games in the play-in game. Is that fair?
It's totally fair, but I think, you know, I think it has a lot to do also with just the variables, right? Like, I think we've seen enough from the Lakers this year to know that they could absolutely lose a single game to the Warriors with Steph Curry. We've seen enough from Steph and the Warriors and the Lakers and kind of their ups and downs to know that, you know, the right confluence of events could lead to the Lakers losing that game. And you don't want to be the defending champions playing a sudden death game against, let's say, Memphis. And I think that you just want to avoid anything funky that could happen there. You know, it could be a twisted ankle. It could be just a bad run of luck. So I think you want to put yourself in a position just to get into a series. Cause I think the Lakers would feel good about their chances in seven games against anybody, you know, even the Clippers. I mean, they may not win that series, but it's going to be a competitive series. It's a single, you know, elimination game that should scare you a lot more. I mean, we all watch and love the NCAA tournament for that very reason.
Why did Anthony Davis and LeBron, why are they trolling Spike Lee like that?
Listen, there were several Knicks fans sitting over there, and they were all chirping. The Knicks had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. I think we're feeling pretty good about themselves. And listen, the Lakers have been struggling a little bit, and you know, some people like to kick you while you're down. And then the Lakers summoned, you know, one of their best late-game performances that we've seen in a long time. And I think AD felt a little bit of, let's call it a catharsis, after some of his struggles since coming back from his own injury to finally piece together several quality games. So I don't think AD minded crowing just a little bit in that direction.
All right, what's the status of Dennis Schroeder?
Dennis Schroeder, you know, is still in the health and safety protocol. They originally said 10 to 14 days. Frank Vogel has said the earliest he could come back is Saturday in Indiana, second to last game. They play a back-to-back Pacers in New Orleans. So there's a remote possibility he could play by then, but you know, if we're dealing with a long term, you know, health and safety protocols absence, that obviously indicates a positive COVID result, and we don't know how individual guys respond to that. We've seen a wide range. You know, some guys take a lot longer to come back from that than others, and so obviously the Lakers are going to hope that he's, you know, in a position to hit the ground running. But that's a lot to ask of a guy who's been out for that long and presumably with. Has been through an illness.
Why didn't he get vaccinated?
That is a question for Dennis Schroeder, isn't it, Doug? Dennis was asked in German a week or so before he ended up in the health and safety protocols about getting vaccinated, and had said that he was still on the fence about it at that point in time. And somewhat ironically, that the reason he doesn't even take, you know, pain medications, but that the reason that he would have gotten the vaccine would have been to avoid another quarantine and hurting his team. And as luck or fate would have it, that has ended up being exactly what has happened. But fortunately for him, it's still in the regular season, and I think the expectation is he'll be healthy for the start of the playoffs, if not also the play-in.
No, but I know coach Rob Pelinka's son. And like, and his wife is a doctor, right? And I remember when Rob was like, "Hey, look, I got to stay away. I can't be coming to games, even to cheer for his own son." Like, the NBA guys do an incredible job. It's really important to them to stay away from people. And they're like, "Well, when we can get the vaccines, when it's our time, we're going to do it." And I know a bunch of people, and we're all doing it, but they can't really make the players. But most of the players are doing it. It just struck me as odd that, you know, here you are on a team where I know people that have gotten the vaccine months ago, and one of their starting point guard gets the virus at the very end of the season when they need him the most.
Yeah, no, it's not a, you know, from a public health standpoint, you know, it's not a good look. It's not something that we've had an opportunity to talk to Dennis about yet, obviously. So I'm trying to reserve judgment on it, you know. But we've talked to Anthony Davis. He said, you know, he got vaccinated, felt like it was the right choice for him. Wanted to do his part. Frank Vogel, the same thing. So, I mean, you know, I think there is, and you've seen, you know, kind of players throughout the league take that on. You know, there was a great photo of Shea Gilgeous Alexander and Lou Dort in Oklahoma City. I don't want to get this backwards, but I think Shea is afraid of needles. And so Lou Dort was there and, like, you know, held his hand. Like, it's like really an inspiring moment, right? Like, I thought that was like one of the coolest things of the entire year. And so, I mean, you've seen kind of the NBA community come together in that way, and the Lakers as an organization have really gone out of their way to promote vaccine acceptance and So, I mean, as an organization, I think the Lakers have really done a pretty fantastic job. But at the end of the day, like you said, like you can't force an individual to do something, even if you feel like it is the responsible thing to do in the middle of a pandemic. And again, I would just as a word of caution, I mean, we can all sort of, you know, piece things together. But Dennis Schroeder, you know, officially it's with the health and safety protocols. You know, he hasn't had a chance to speak on his behalf. So, I mean, maybe there's more to the story than we fully know.
No, it's fair. And I'm not going to the guy already has it. I'm saying he already has it. You're not, I understand. What's the point? I don't know. Anybody can get it now. There's literally no excuse. And if you want to win a championship, the best way to do so is to be healthy. Get the shot. I mean, it's like, I totally understand if you have hesitation, like talk to your doctor, and all of their doctors as really healthy guys would be like, you should really get this vaccine.
One thing on that, Doug, just because I think it's important. Frank Vogel did say that the Lakers, you know, had several informational sessions with players on educating them on the vaccine, on explaining the benefits of the health benefits, beyond the obvious. Talking about the value to the team and, the importance to the team of you being available as part of a championship run. So the Lakers did. That was a big part of their messaging internally.
How much does LeBron play?
I think the beauty of bringing him back in a game against Houston, assuming he gets through his pregame workout, is you hopefully don't need to play him very much. Right. Like, I mean, we've seen LeBron come back from injury in the past 2 years ago with the groin and then earlier this month with the with obviously this ankle, and he's thrown himself right into the fire, mid 30s. I think he played 40 minutes 2 years ago against the Clippers. I think the hope is that, he comes out and puts on a clinic in the first half against this, really terrible Rockets team. And then you don't need him to play in the fourth quarter and he can play 27 or 28 minutes. But I don't think he's coming back unless he is ready to play at a LeBron James level. So if this is a close game, I don't think LeBron is going to, go to the bench with a hard minutes cap. I think he'll play 35 minutes if that's what it takes to get the win. I think the beauty of bringing him back in this game is that it shouldn't take that much.
No, it should. It's a great scrimmage. I mean, that's really what it is. It's a really, really good scrimmage for LeBron. Cause my concern, and you covering the league as long as you have, as well as you have, I think you know this way better than most anybody, is like, I'm not sure people understand the level of intensity and change in intensity in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to go to the play-in game, which would be, so to go from not playing one rehab game and then playing like a regular season, like your body, that's a really hard adjustment. And, by the way, you're not going to come out of the end of a play-in game. Like you have to have played NBA level basketball games to have any chance to even be ready for the play-in game, let alone playing big minutes. So I it's incredibly important for him to get on the floor. Why did he say, I don't think I'll ever be the same? Why the woe is me over the high ankle sprain?
Yeah, that was interesting. And, it was kind of funny because two nights later he said, well, I need to be 100% for us to have any chance. But two nights earlier he said he'll never be 100% again. And, I took that comment more as him sort of embracing his very, 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 very gradual decline, kind of the battle with Father Time, where, he's 36 years old, he is coming off an injury, he'll never be the 28-year-old LeBron James again. That was how I took that comment, and I understand it was in the context of the high ankle sprain, and it obviously leads to some hand-wringing over, what he might still be dealing with that injury. But, I think that was really kind of an acceptance on his part that, of what side of his career mountain he is on. That said, I can't believe I'm saying this, I still think that feels premature, because you go back to the before the injury, and I think he would have been the consensus MVP this season. If Solomon Hill doesn't crash into his leg and LeBron stays healthy, everything was trending toward him being, the MVP yet again in his career. And that, to me would have been a pretty fitting, capstone, at least for this stage of his career. So if you're winning MVPs and you're not at 100%, or if you're at least in, having an MVP caliber season and you're not at 100%, that says a lot about you. But I think, LeBron was certainly playing well enough before the injury to lead a team to a championship. I guess the question is just going to be, how quickly can he get back to the level that he was at pre-injury, whether it's 100% or not? And, And you know, will it be in time before the Lakers, you know, run into one of these potential buzzsaws in the West?
It's a great question. It's going to be a great playoffs. Bill, awesome information. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Doug.
All right, pleasure is all mine. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You know, Bill's interesting. He obviously used to work for the LA Times, now works for The Athletic. But one of the things we like to do on this show, and I fully understand there's other shows you can listen to, but a guy like that, he knows so much more about the inner workings of everything that's going on. Some things he can say, some things he can't say. Like, I'll give you an example. He wanted to make sure, like by rules, like he can't say Dennis Schroeder has COVID. He can only say health and safety. We can all kind of draw. But he also made sure to point out, like, look, they've had several informational sessions. I've told you that I know Rob Pelinka got vaccinated. I know other people in that organization have been vaccinated as well. It's not, I don't want to say Schroeder's irresponsible, but it is one of those, like, you throw up your hands, like, what do you want us to do? Right? Like, we had the information for the guys. We had doctors come out and tell them we can't make them do it. And now we're kind of screwed because we wouldn't be in the play-in game. And it's not just they'd be the sixth seed or the five. They'd probably be the four seed if Schroeder hadn't gotten it. So I don't. But anyway, I think Bill does a tremendous, tremendous job.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Have you guys seen Ted Lasso? Ramos?
You know what? I have Apple Plus. I got one of those like free 3-month trials. But I haven't seen that yet. But it does pop up every day on my screen to take a look. But I've heard nothing but positive reviews. I know you just said one earlier. You really enjoyed it. You were binging it. So,
yeah. I binged the whole thing.
Oh, you're done. It was one season so far, correct? So what's that? 12 episodes or was it less than that?
I think it was less than
that. Okay.
It flies by. It's really, 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 really good. Really good. And there's there's a lot of complicated stuff in there in terms of relationships, marriage, divorce, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of really positive things. And honestly, some things that, John, you coaching kids as you do, and I coach kids, there's some great messaging in there in coaching.
And I've liked Jason Sudeikis for quite a while. He's really funny and stuff. So, yeah. I don't know if he's supposed to be funny in this show or he's just.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's really, really, really good. Really good. Do you have time to watch an episode tonight?
Well, maybe. Lucas he's dealing with his church obligations for his first communion coming up. So he has something, we have as a family.
Do you have communion?
I had my first communion, yeah, when I was a kid.
No, you have communion. Like, you're like, what he has, what do you have?
No, he's getting his first Eucharist coming up for the Catholic Church.
But what do you have?
What do you mean, what do I have?
You're talking about Lucas. How does this affect John?
Well, I
John
have to
Ramos?
We have to go. Suzanne and I have to be there. It's like an hour and a half church service that we have to attend.
Oh, that's tonight?
That's tonight, yeah.
On a weeknight.
It is on a weeknight, yes. Yeah. So but later on this evening when I get back, I can
yes.
What are they, 24 minutes long or is it longer than that?
I think it's like 45
okay.
minutes. Let me
I will do my best to catch like the pilot episode.
It's one that you could watch with your
Yeah, yeah. No, I have no doubt. I know he's coaching and he goes to like England, right, to coach a soccer team, correct? Or is that right? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I say things and I know what it means and then you're like, I don't know what you mean, John. So yeah. Gotta clarify.
Watch an episode tonight and then you'll be like, that's
okay.
It was really, really good. Really, really, really good. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Teddy Bridgewater is interesting. Here's a guy who's very well liked in the NFL. Remember, early on in his career with the Minnesota Vikings, they get to the playoffs. They're going to beat the Seahawks. You want to talk about being right with the Lord, right? Like the Seahawks, you want escape wins. They beat the Packers to go to the Super Bowl 1 year when they were dead to rights, beaten, and Aaron Rodgers had a torn calf. So they had like no, they, They were up a couple touchdowns and just a couple miracles, onside kick. They end up winning that game. But people forget when they beat the Vikings in Minnesota. This is the year before, I think, they opened up the new dome. And Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback. They missed a very short field goal. Very short field goal. But he was more of a game manager. And then, of course, the very next season, he's coming back. The last preseason practice, one of the last snaps, he drops back. His knee explodes. We don't see him for a couple years. Then he's a backup. First, the Jets signed him, but they signed him to trade him. They trade him to New Orleans. He's a backup for a couple years in New Orleans. He did get to start, I think, 5 games when Drew Brees got hurt 2 years ago. Then he signs as a free agent, a 2-year deal, really, with the Carolina Panthers. And now he gets traded to the Denver Broncos. The Panthers kind of soured on him quickly and moved on to Sam Darnold. Here's Teddy Bridgewater opening up about his former team's practice habits.
As an organization, there's things that, you know, you can do better as well. But I'll just say this, for Joe Brady's growth, that organization, they'll have to, like, just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like, one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2-minute, really. We didn't practice red zone. You didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through, like, you walk through the red zone stuff. And then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps, and guys' reps will be limited.
Yeah, so it's a different way, obviously, of doing things for Joe Brady. And this is his, you know, people forget he gets a lot of credit for what he did at LSU, but he wasn't calling all the plays. He wasn't necessarily even the offensive coordinator. So now he gets a gigantic jump in job with the Carolina Panthers. And I think what Teddy Bridgewater is saying is, not only is it different, but from anywhere else in the NFL. Obviously, he's been with Sean Payton. He's been with the Minnesota Vikings as well. Now he'll be in Denver. But he was probably thinking there's a little bit of the Peter principle. The Peter principle means when you're promoted beyond the level of normal level of your competency. I think he painted a pretty clear picture. We know what he's talking about. Interesting, though, right? Fascinating. Joe Brady and the amount of credit he got for all the things that went right when he was at LSU, and no one's talked about how it's really gone in Carolina.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Daniel Jeremiah joins us. Move the Sticks is the podcast. By the way, we're getting leaked schedules galore here. I mean, this stuff is fun. I love social media. Your initial reaction when you saw the schedule the first week come out?
Well, I was selfish, Doug, because I just looked to see who the Chargers are playing to see if I'm traveling or what's going on. So to get a little a road game in Washington, D.C. will be kind of fun to start the season and get to see the Chargers' first-round pick and Rashawn Slater get a rematch against Chase Young, who he did quite well against when they played the Northwestern Ohio State. So that was my first immediate reaction.
I don't know if you saw this, but Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a leaked schedule for the Patriots. Week 4 of the season, Patriots-Buccaneers Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Give them a couple weeks to kind of get their feet underneath them, see who's going to be playing quarterback for the Patriots at that point in time, and then we'll have some fun. I mean, the cool thing is when you kind of go through the whole offseason, right, and you see the new additions to the rosters and the draft and all that, and then this is the first time for me that I'm really kind of taking a look at these whole teams about who you're going to roll into the season with next year, and you start looking at, I think, what do we have, the Cowboys and the Bucks is the first game, right, is the Thursday nighter. Is the opener. So, and you look at that Cowboys defense, looks totally different than the one they trotted out there last year.
Yeah, no, the Cowboys one is interesting because I think everybody thinks, well, that's a wrap. That's Tampa. You know, Cowboys have been bad, et cetera, et cetera. Then you start to kind of dig deep and you're like, well, I know the Cowboys haven't beaten a good team in forever, but I also believe, and I think they are going to have some talent. And if healthy,
they can score.
They can score. And as good as Tampa looked in the playoffs, then I truly believe this. They played teams with depleted offensive lines the last 2 games of the season. So it doesn't mean they don't have a talented defensive front. It just means it looked a little different because you know, the best David Bakhtiari's out for the Packers, and when they play, Kansas City was down essentially their entire starting offensive line. So it's going to be an interesting look that first week of the season.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, like, if I could buy stock in one player, I'm buying stock in CeeDee Lamb, getting the whole season with Dak Prescott and year two in the league, and, you know, Amari Cooper on the other side. I'm telling you, dude, that guy's going to have a monster year. And at least at the start of the season, we hope, right? The Cowboys' offensive line has broken down a lot, but you figure week one, they roll out there with Lyle Collins healthy, with Tyron Smith healthy, and Zach Martin healthy. They'll be able to protect.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Speaking of New England, how do you think that all goes down?
I'm curious, man. I am. I know we talked about Mac kind of being hitting his head on the ceiling, which usually means those guys are ready to come in and start right away. But I don't know. To me, I think we see a lot more Cam Newton this year than people expect. I don't think this gets handed over to Mac Jones quite as fast as everybody thinks it does.
Okay, let me ask you about the Aaron Rodgers situation. What are you hearing from people around the league?
Well, nothing much since the draft. I mean, I don't hear anybody that expects him to be traded. So that's what I don't hear. Just because nobody can fathom how you would get fair return on that. You just don't. And you look at the leverage with the, you know, with the rules in place now, with the holding out is just not really an option. So either you got to decide if you want to play football or if you don't want to play football. And the Packers seem to hold the cards of, you know, hey, if you want to play football, you're going to have to play for us because we're not going to trade you. That seems to be the feeling around the league, which I agree with.
Do you think they can come to an agreement on a new deal? Right? Supposedly they're offering some big money deal.
Yeah, that's my guess of how this whole thing ends, is that you're going to have this drama and a little bit back and forth, and then at the end of the day, money talks. So I would guess he will get a massive, massive contract, and it'll be water under the bridge, and off they go.
Yeah, yeah. It's that pink diamond ring that seems to make every marriage last. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, Justin Fields. You know, one of the big games the first week is Rams-Bears. They have two more than competent potential starters in front of them. How do you think, and remember, the coaching staff, or at least the head coach, was in Kansas City when they sat Pat Mahomes 15 games, 16 weeks in Kansas City. What do you think the plan is for the Bears?
Well, I think the footing that they were on in Kansas City is a little bit different than the footing they're on in Chicago. I don't think they get the luxury of saying, hey, we did the right thing. We sat them for the whole year. Stick with us, and we'll be ready to go next year. It's going to pay off for us. Our patience will really pay off. Like, they're in a win-now mode, and to me, that means you probably see Justin Fields on the field right away, if not right away, within the first couple weeks, and you kind of let him have some growing pains and work through it and hope that by the back half of the season that you're playing really good football and you can demonstrate that you've got the organization on the right path. I think, like, that's really the only way forward for them.
I think so. I mean, but the problem with Andy Dalton, you know, they want a quarterback that moves, right, within that offense. And Foles doesn't really move. Dalton doesn't really move.
Foles ain't going to be there. I mean, I mean, Doug, I'll take you to lunch. If Foles is on the Bears roster when they play that game against the Rams, I'll buy your lunch.
Okay, fair enough. I'll enjoy lunch. I don't know if they keep him on, you know. What are the Packers doing?
Like a sandwich. We're just no heavy meat here for this lunch. This is a sandwich lunch.
No. I don't need to go to Morton's or go down to what's the Mastro's Beach Club. Like, we don't need to go that high dollar. Okay, I can teach you about some of the finer Hollingshead. You ever been to Hollingshead Deli?
No.
Oh, it's in Orange. It's over near the Anaheim Stadium. It's amazing. Big Packer fans there. I got to do a show from there. Those guys, he's from Green Bay, huge Packer fans. You'll love it. You'll love it. Any beer you want, huh?
I'm a deli guy, so I'm a sandwich connoisseur. So that sounds great to me.
Okay, next time you're around, just text me. We'll go. We'll figure it out. It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you think of where the Raiders are in the rebuild?
Well, I think it's a big year, right? It's, to me, it's the offense is not a problem. They move the ball. They can score. They've got weapons. It's just a matter of whether or not they can play better football on defense. Can you rush the passer? They need more talent at corner, and they're going to rely on a lot of new faces, a lot of young faces on that side of the ball with a new coordinator coming over in Gus Bradley. So, yeah, I mean, I'm confident they're going to score. You know, I feel good about their offense. To me, it's how quickly all these new pieces can come together on defense. I would imagine that's going to take a few weeks before that all gels.
Yeah, I would imagine that. I would imagine that as well. Now, Gus maybe gets the benefit of having been with the Chargers, so he knows this division, but you got to get the personnel that fits, that absolutely fits with it, that part. You know, the team we only talk about, it was when Russell Wilson is complaining, is the Seahawks. Now we've seen their draft. We've seen what they do in free agency. Are they better because of their offseason moves?
I don't know. I don't really think they're appreciably better. Their draft was already over before it started. They had three picks. I mean, Jamal Adams was their draft.
Right.
And we saw him last year. So, no, I don't think they're appreciably better. I don't. And I think you can look inside that division and say, make a strong case, the Rams, with what they did at quarterback, are going to be a lot better. I think Arizona's continuing to ascend, and they're going to be better. And, you know, the 49ers are going to be healthy. They're going to be a lot better. So, of all the teams in the division, I could make a case for the other three, you know, taking a step forward, and I don't really see a lot of that in Seattle right now.
Yeah, no, I don't either. That's what was kind of curious about it was there's all this hand-wringing about Russell Wilson. They're like, they changed coordinators. They tried to, you know, shore up some things, but I'm not sure there was all that much that was or could be done, and some of that is also his salary, if you will. It's always super, super interesting. Last thing, DJ, before we let you go, Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I've said this, and again, this is more outsider and bringing in what I always think. We do make a big deal about the schedule and the games, and all the schedules will be announced tonight on the NFL Network, which you work for. But I think those first couple games, getting some positive momentum, that really changes. That changes your outlook on the whole season. Boy, the Browns, I don't know what the rest of their schedule is going to look like, but opening in Kansas City, that's not great for them, right? And you get down 0-2 to start the season, and even a good team can wither under the lofty expectations. Having been in this league and now covered this league as long as you have, how important do you think those first couple games and getting an easy game here or there to get some positive momentum are?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, it just, especially when we talk about 17 games, Doug, it just seems like such a long season. That you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be screwed if you don't start off, you know, on
fire.
You
know, the freak out factor is not the same. Got it.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. But, I think to me, I always kind of liked it when you played a really good team the first week, just because you kind of go through the whole offseason. You don't really learn anything in the preseason games. But so you get out there the first week against a good opponent and you're like, okay, this is where we are. Let's see where we are. And we either know we got to get a heck of a lot better or we know we got a chance to be pretty good. So, you know, to me, if the Browns lose that game and they're competitive against Kansas City, I think almost that can propel you as much as even a win would, just to know, okay, we're right there. We are that good. You know?
Yeah. It's a great point. DJ, awesome stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon.
See you, bud.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We like to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio. We call it...
What does the Fox say?
Here's Colin Cowherd on the difference between the Knicks and the Lakers.
So the Knicks just don't have a lot of juice. They have to win one way, and that's defensively. The Lakers, meanwhile, have both. They can lock you down. We saw they were the number one defensive team in the league early this year. They can win a lot of ways, but last night was classic. No LeBron, no Dennis Schroeder, Alex Caruso out, AD hurt, still beat the Knicks. So, I mean, the Lakers are really built to win a championship, which is they can be missing players. It doesn't matter. They have a bunch of guys who can drop 20 on any given night. Knicks can win one way. Lakers can win a lot of ways, and that's the key in the playoffs. Kansas City, there's a lot of ways they can win. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a lot of ways they can win. Like the certain teams, the Baltimore Ravens, they feel like there's kind of a way. The Knicks, there's kind of a way they have to win. And I kind of feel that with the Knicks. But listen, the foundation's great. But I thought last night was actually not just a win for the Lakers, but it kind of shows you why, if LeBron's healthy, they're a handful.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, they won the NBA championship last year, and talent-wise, it feels like they should be better this year. But, like, Talen Horton-Tucker had a bunch of turnovers last night, but did have the big putback. The problem is Talen Horton-Tucker, when everybody's healthy, like, his run will be minimal. So I think the future is bright for him, but in the playoffs, does he really fit in? The answer is no. I also think it shows you the difference in the East and the West. Don't get me wrong, the Nets are super talented in the East. I think the Philadelphia, when healthy, when they play everybody, very talented. But the difference in the East and the West, once you get past those top four teams, remember, there's no, oh God, what's his name from Cal who got hurt for the Celtics? Who's that? Jaylen Brown, right? You know, when the Celtics only have one of their two-headed monsters to score, and Kemba's been dealing with the knee all year. But you get past those top four teams in the East, and it's not very good. And that's where the Knicks fall, right? The Knicks are good against bad teams. The Lakers aren't a bad team. By the way, this just in regards to the Lakers, LeBron James via Chris Haynes, unlikely to make his return tonight against the Houston Rockets, league sources tell Yahoo Sports. So that means he's going to play against the Pacers instead, but LeBron, to people who question the high ankle sprain, I've talked to people, I've never had the high ankle sprain. So the high ankle sprain, for people who don't know, normally when you sprain your ankle, you roll your ankle. So the outside of your ankle rolls kind of under, right? Outside of your ankle rolls under. Well, in a high ankle sprain, the inside of your ankle rolls under slightly, and it takes a lot longer to come back from. And even, you know, it just takes time and rehab and time and rehab. So the Lakers still aren't right. They're not winning anything without LeBron James. But I, as discussed earlier, I don't think it's a death knell if they play in the play-in game. What does the Fox say? Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. Did you guys see what Shohei Ohtani did last night? I know you did, Gavin. What'd you think, Gav?
I think it's a shame that he had to go out there, pitched over 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, and they still lose the game. But obviously very impressive. Then he ends up in right field. I love it.
He was amazing, right? He was truly, truly, he's if I said best player in sport, am I wrong?
I mean, it's hard to argue that what he's doing is the most unique thing in any athlete in American sports. There's no one else that could do that. And by the way, if he was a Yankee, he would be shoved down our throats like crazy. We get to enjoy him in Anaheim.
We do get to enjoy him in Anaheim. I do wonder if he likes that or not, right? Like, you ever wonder if he digs that? If he digs the fact that
he turned down the Yankees.
No, I know yeah. I know he did, but again, it's a lot of things. There's a lot where you sometimes you think you know what you want, and you don't want that. Like, do you think he likes the fact they don't get attention? Again, not what he did previously, but what he does now.
I do. I think he and Trout both enjoy, you know, being in their own little island. So
I think so as well.
Wish it worked out for some wins, you know. Hopefully.
Did not work out for a win last night. But better things are on the horizon. Better things are.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.